Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
African Americans wait as much as 30% longer for ride-hailing services like UberX and Lyft, and those with African American-sounding names had their trips canceled by drivers at twice the rate of others. That's according to a new study out from the National Bureau of Economic Research. And joining us now is our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Johanna Buya is Senior Transportation Editor at Recode. She joins us from New York. Hi, Johanna.
Hey, Jeremy. How's it going?
Going well. And tell us more about what the study found.
Right. So you hit on a lot of the key points. The major takeaway here is that in Boston, men with black-sounding names who were hailing an Uber and then were matched with a driver were canceled on twice as often as men with non-black-sounding names. And in Seattle, Lyft riders, and Lyft shows you the picture of the rider before you accept the ride itself, Black Lyft riders waited as much as 35 minutes longer for their driver to get to them than other drivers or other riders.
There were also differences along gender lines. What about that?
Yeah, women were actually taken on longer rides and longer routes than men. I think the number was about 30 minutes longer.
Do we know about how they did this study?
Yeah, so it was, a group of 8 researchers in Boston and 8 researchers in Seattle. Four of the researchers were black and 4 of the researchers were white, and it was evenly divided among gender. And so one of the tests was they basically took 1,500 rides over a period of 6 weeks. But then they did a second test where they used images of people who were, could pass off as either black or white, but used black-sounding names or white-sounding names, and did a test on that as well.
What have Uber and Lyft said?
I mean, they have both said that they are, staunchly against discrimination, of course, and they have no tolerance for it. Uber, to its credit, has also said that, studies like this will help them improve their service. But at the same time, this narrative, runs very much contrary to the narrative that Uber and Lyft have long pitched, which is that they are able to reduce discrimination that people so often face using taxis and traditional transportation options.
Well, and this study did not compare Uber and Lyft with traditional taxi services, which we know have been accused. Many African Americans will tell you that taxis will just pass them by where they might pick up a white passenger. But do we know what the numbers are on discrimination in taxis?
Right. I mean, there are a number of studies. There was one, I think the most recent one, it's called Hailing While Black, and it was commissioned by Uber, so we should take that with a grain of salt. But it did find that 66% of black Chicago citizens who were surveyed found or believed that they were passed on by a taxi driver because of discrimination. Another similar percentage, I think it was 62%, found that or believed that their minority communities or poorer communities were underserved by taxis. And so it's a pervasive problem within the taxi industry as well.
We've also heard about a similar problem at Airbnb, where people with African American sounding names found it harder to rent rooms.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it's interesting because Airbnb and Uber both pitched themselves as these platforms that will democratize access to either transportation or, in Airbnb's case, short-term housing. And so if there is a large swath of their user base that are being limited in that access because of discrimination, it's a huge problem for both of these companies.
Airbnb adopted a new non-discrimination policy. Is there any sign that things have improved for Airbnb customers as a result of that?
Right. So the policy itself is just that, you basic hosts have to agree that they would not discriminate against guests. But, although racism is so pervasive, it's often very subtle. So it's difficult to enforce things like that. So, of course, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But, there has to be a much more proactive approach and much more thoughtful approach to curbing discrimination.
Are we likely to see new approaches from Uber and Lyft as a result of this study?
I would hope so. I mean, to Uber's credit, in the past, they used to show the destination that riders put in to drivers before they accepted a ride. And that, of course, introduced destination bias. And once that, became an issue, Uber actually stopped doing that. And so there is the hope that they will take a more thoughtful approach to creating more proactive features that actually curb discrimination. And I think that's kind of core to the issue, is that they pitch themselves as this platform that curbs discrimination only because the features that they've created that were created with the intention to enhance efficiency sort of happily and coincidentally also made it easier to get a ride for people of color.
Overall, how is Uber and how is Lyft doing in the competition with taxis?
In New York specifically, it's interesting. Uber actually has the same amount of active drivers as there are yellow taxis. And while yellow taxis, the number of rides are going down every year, they're still doing millions and millions of more rides than Uber is.
And there are tens of thousands of yellow taxis in New York as it is. Yeah. So lots of cars taking people all over the place. Johanna Buya, Senior Transportation Editor at Recode, thanks so much as always.
Thanks for having me.